Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Isaiah 43:19 has been our theme verse for 2016. Since the beginning of the year, we have been camping out and walking through this verse, phrase by phrase, series by series. We discovered that God always has a future plan for his people. He says, I will do a new thing. We learned that he expects his people to grow and to bear fruit. From John 15, we learn now it shall spring forth. He's called us to understand and develop the spiritual qualities that cultivate a spiritual legacy. And from 2 Peter, we have learned, shall you not know it? And now this morning, as Joe just said, we're going to hear a new promise from the Lord from Isaiah 43:19. As we move on to the next phrase, I will even make a road in the wilderness. And I'm going to call this phrase, this series, God will make a way, because that's his promise. I will make a road in the wilderness. You know, it matters what you think about when you hear that word wilderness. For instance, if I mention that to you, if we talk about the wilderness, most of the time what you and I will think about is an overgrown forest filled with trees and underbrush where you can't see quite where you came from and you don't know quite where you're going. But when Isaiah used that phrase, I will make a road in the wilderness, he had a completely different picture in his mind. What he saw was nothing. Nothing. If you've ever had the privilege of traveling to Israel and going across the Holy Land, you know what a wilderness is there. A wilderness is a place where there's absolutely nothing there. Nothing grows. Nothing thrives. It's dry dirt and rock. And all you wonder is, will there ever be a place to find refreshment again? Will I ever make it out of the wilderness and into a new place where I can thrive and grow? And God's promise through Isaiah was this: I'm going to make a road in the wilderness. I'm going to open up ways for you so that you can make it through those times. And so that you can discover God has a special plan for your life. Because one thing I believe is this: all of us know what it's like to go through a wilderness experience. I had someone in my last church whose family had been through a really difficult time. And she grabbed me one Sunday after church and she said, I just want you to know something. I said, what? She said, I just want you to know, I'm tired of you saying there's three kinds of people: those who have suffered, those who are suffering, and those who will suffer. And I said, well, I'll try not to say it as much, but it's true. It's true. All of us know what it's like to go through those wilderness experiences of life when we're not sure quite where to turn or how to go, and that's when we need to hear God's promise, I will make a road in the wilderness. And over these next few weeks, we're going to be looking together at the lives of some special people in the Bible. People who went through those times of wilderness challenge. People who discovered God was going to have to step in and change things in their lives. And those who saw God is faithful. We're going to discover an incredible promise from the Bible, and it is simply this: our Lord is active in the lives of the people who depend upon him. So this morning, I want to begin at the beginning. I want you to join me in the book of Genesis in the life of a man called Abraham. Now, I know a little while ago we read Abram, and I know he was Abram for a while before he became Abraham, but you need to understand, I'm just going to call him Abraham, okay? And we're going to look together at this man's life, because Abraham's life is a study in what it means to trust the Lord. It's no accident that Genesis 15:6 says he believed in the Lord and he accounted it to him for righteousness. He believed the Lord, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. That is a description of the life of Abraham. How do I know that's true? Because that very passage is quoted in the New Testament. It's in Romans 4, 3. It's in Galatians 3, 6. It's in James 2, 23. In other words, when you hear his name, one thing should always come to mind, and it is simply this. Abraham trusted God. He trusted God. You know, there are people you know in your life, and you think of different ways that you might describe them, and it's consistently true about who they are and what they're like. Well, when you think about Abraham, the word that should pop into your mind every time is trust. Trust. I will make a road in the wilderness. I will make a way for you if you trust me. And Abraham depended upon the Lord throughout his life, but there are three times when God really challenged him to be a man of trust. And every time God challenged him, God made that road a little wider so that God could make a way. So I want us to look at these three events together this morning, as we walk through the life of this man who trusted God. The first thing I want you to see is this. The Lord challenged Abraham to walk to the end of the light and take one more step. Walk to the edge of everything you know and then keep going. It happened when Abraham was living in a little town of Canaan called Haran. That time, Abraham was 75 years old, which in those days, compared to these days, would mean he was a middle-aged man. He had reached that point in his life when it was finally time that he could slow down a little bit and begin to take things easy. After all, Abraham had been a very successful man. His family was surrounded, he was surrounded by his family. He had been successful in everything he did. Life had been good. He had every reason to be content with things staying just the way they were. And it is just at that point that God began to speak to him. And this is what he said. He said, "Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you." Abraham, it's time to go. I know that you thought you had everything figured out. I know you believed everything had settled down. I know you thought, this is the time when I can relax a little bit. But I'm going to tell you something, Abraham. Get up. Let's go. It's time to move. God said to Abraham, "Trust me, I'm about to change everything in your life, but I'm doing it for your good." See, here's the thing. God was not asking Abraham to be obedient in something. He was calling him to be obedient in everything. He was saying, "Abraham, I want you to take your whole life and put it in my hands. I want you to follow me where I'm leading you. And if you're going to do that, then you're going to have to do that in everything." You know, that sounds so easy when you read about it in the Bible for somebody else. But when it's going on in your own life, that's another thing altogether. We don't mind trusting God in some things, especially those things that are not going to turn our world upside down. But when God says everything, we have to decide, am I willing to truly trust the God? Here's the thing, the Lord had an incredible future plan for Abraham, but he was going to have to step out to receive it. It would mean turning from everything that was familiar and going out in complete faith, not knowing what was coming next. Here's what God was saying to Abraham. I want you to walk to the edge of everything you know. And then I want you to keep going. Remember what the Lord said to him? He said, "Leave everything behind and go to a place I will show you." Now hear that again. What God said to Abraham was, "You go to a place I will show you." Not, "I have shown you." It wasn't one of those things where God sat down with Abraham and he said, let me tell you about this future I have planned for your life. And he sat down with him and point by point and place by place and year by year laid it out so that Abraham could understand what was going on. All God said to Abraham was, you go to the end of the light and then you walk off into the darkness. And you don't even know what's there except this. I will be there. I will be there. You follow me. The Lord didn't give Abraham a destination. Instead, he gave him a promise. He said, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of earth shall be blessed. What did he say? He said, Abraham, you cannot imagine what I have in store for your life. I'm going to make you more than you ever dreamed you could be. You are going to touch the world in ways you cannot even imagine. I'm going to tell you this. All of the nations of the earth are going to be blessed in you. Now let's go. It's the same challenge that he offers to his people today. Here's what the Lord is saying to you. I have a great plan for your life. In my plan, you will be blessed and you will be a blessing. In my plan, you will go places you never dreamed of. You will touch lives you never imagined. You will be used in ways that you cannot possibly fathom. But if it's going to happen, you got to let go and step out. It's the difference between believing about God and trusting the personal love of a personal Savior for your personal soul. It's one thing to say, I believe that God is there. It's another thing to say, I believe that God is good. But sooner or later, you come to that point where you have to say, and I believe that that God revealed himself completely in Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man, who gave himself a total sacrifice so I could have a chance to live eternally. And Jesus alone is the only way my sin is going to be forgiven. And Jesus alone is the only way the weight's going to be taken away. And Jesus alone is my hope for everlasting life. And I choose to follow him. Maybe God is calling you to step out today. So many people stand at the brink of salvation, but they never take the step. Step out and follow him. Somebody knows, God wants me to step out and commit myself to what God is doing through First Baptist Church. And you need to step out and say, this is the place. I plant my life here. I bring myself to be a member of this church, not just because I want a place where my membership is, but because I want to be a part of what God is doing in this place. There's probably somebody here today who is hearing God speak to your life, and he is saying to you, trust me, obey me, follow me. And maybe you need to step out and trust God. That's the reason our church has a public invitation. You know, a lot of churches these days have moved away from an invitation hymn where you actually have to walk to the front of the aisle and join the church. You can fill out a membership card and you join, and you never feel like you're a center of attention, and you never feel like the spotlight is on you. And why don't we do things like that? And here's the answer. At least this is the way I feel about it. Because there needs to be that point in your life where you step out boldly and identify yourself with Jesus. Identify yourself with his church. Identify the fact that I am serious about being part of what God is doing right here. And that's what God called Abraham to do. Remember what he learned. You have to let go and trust him with everything. Greatest sentence that you could possibly use to describe that time of decision in Abraham's life. This is what Scripture says. And Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him. It doesn't just say God said, Abraham, get up and go. It also says Abraham got up and went. And he settled that first issue of trusting God. If I step out, he will lead me. God will make a way. Next, God challenged Abraham to trust him even when no answer was in sight. It began with a promise from the Lord, because the Lord said to Abraham, to your descendants I will give this land. Abraham thought that was a wonderful thing. Remember, you're going to bless all of the nations in the world, and to your descendants I will give this land, this promised land that I am leading them to. Years went by, and nothing happened. You see, Abraham had a problem. His wife Sarah was barren, and Abraham had no descendants. The closest thing he could come up with was a nephew. And Abraham went to the Lord with his questions. He said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? Abraham was saying, God, this just doesn't make sense. I can't see what you're doing. I don't understand why this has to happen. Abraham was asking the same questions that a lot of us face from time to time, especially when we go through those wilderness seasons of life. God, what's taking so long? God, I don't understand what you're doing. I can't see your hand in all of this. God, how long am I going to have to wait? God, you owe me some answers. And you know what kind of answer Abraham got? He got no answer at all. Instead, the Lord did something incredible. The Lord said, Abraham, get up out of your tent. It's dark at night, middle of the desert, out in the wilderness. He said, get up out of your tent and walk outside with me. Then he said, look up. It was a clear, cloudless night. And you can imagine what the skies looked like. Remember, it's not like being in Birmingham where there's all kind of other lights to distract you. All you're seeing is what's in the darkness. And God said, you see the stars? Those countless stars? Look toward the heaven and count them if you're able to number them. So shall your descendants be. And it was at that point that the Bible made that incredible statement we saw just a few moments ago. And Abraham trusted God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. See the stars? Old man, can you count them? Because let me tell you something. You're going to have more descendants than those stars that you could never count in a lifetime. Abraham would not see the fulfillment of God's promise until he was 99 years old. But he didn't doubt God's promise again. And that's God's challenge to you and me. Trust God even when you can't see the evidence right now. One of the hardest times to trust the Lord is when he does not make a way in the wilderness for a long time. For years, Abraham kept on trusting God. We don't like it that way. You know, we grew up that age where, you know, you see a problem at the beginning of the television show, and 30 minutes, an hour later, all the problems are resolved. Everything's taken care of. I always get tickled driving down the road when I see so many young couples who are buying older homes these days to fix them up. And I know because they're saying to one another, look, you can do it in an hour. I saw it on TV last night. And sometimes that's exactly what we do spiritually. We say to God, I want answers. I want them here. I want them now. I want them on my timetable. Sometimes God makes us wait. We want instant responses. We want easy answers. And sometimes the only answer God gives is wait and wait and wait some more. But believe, I have a plan. And just because we can't always see what he's doing, that doesn't mean he's not going to do exactly the right thing in exactly the right time. Let me give you a principle you need. Faith becomes faith when you trust God no matter how long it takes. When you trust God and just keep trusting him. A while back, Ellen Gladden gave me some good advice one Sunday after church. We were talking about some of the trees and shrubs that Judith and I planted this past spring at our house and what was going on and such. And this is what she told me, and I haven't forgotten it, Ellen. She said, here's the rule of thumb when it comes to planting things. The first year, sleep. The second year, creep. The third year, leap. And she told me that, and I thought, that's a pretty good spiritual principle. First year sleep, second year creep, third year leap. In other words, you have to be patient and wait until growing things are ready to grow. We want instant maturity and immediate results from our prayers, but often instant is superficial, and it's not going to last for the long run. The Lord knows for lasting growth to happen, roots have to grow deep, leaves have to spring forth, and the fruit will come at just the right time. And in those times when you're wondering, when is God going to make a way? And when you've had to wait, and when you're not sure what's going on, remember this. What you want is God's best, however long it takes. If God said to you, I will give you my best, but you're going to have to wait, would you do it? What if God said, okay, if you want something quicker, I'll give you some of my best, but not very much of it, just a little bit. You can have a little bit now, or you can have it all later. What are you going to say? I'll wait. Don't ever get discouraged in trusting the Lord. You are never out of his sight. He has a plan for you. And even when you're in the wilderness, he is preparing that promised land and a multitude of descendants, a godly heritage. When the answer's not in sight, keep trusting the Lord. And then finally, years later, God pushed Abraham to the very limit of trust. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? That mountain near Moriah. Abraham and Sarah's son Isaac, the child of promise, has grown into a boy. Every day, Abraham looks at this son and he thinks about the promises God has made and the incredible gift that God has given he and his wife at a time when that kind of child should not be theirs. And every day he looks at him and he thinks, God's promise, God's promise, God's promise. And that's when God said to Abraham, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I shall tell you. Abraham, you know that boy? that boy you love, that fulfillment of God's promise. I want you to sacrifice him to me. I want you to take him up on the mountain and offer him as a sacrifice and trust me. How could God ask for such a thing? Isaac was not just the apple of his eye. He was the fulfillment of God's promise. How could the Lord let this happen? Even more, how could God ask Abraham to be the one who sacrificed him? Can I be honest with you for a minute? If the Lord came to me and he said, I'm taking a vote on stories I'm going to take out of the Bible that people never have to see again, this one gets my vote. If I had the chance to say, let's take this out, I'd take it out. Because I can't imagine the agony. Maybe I can imagine the agony of a father who's called on to sacrifice his own son. I never will understand how Abraham did it, but this is what I know. The Bible says the next morning he loaded a donkey with wood and he took his servants and his son and he made his way to the place where God had led him to. And he didn't tell anybody what was going on in his life. And he left the servants behind. And he had his boy carry the wood. And as he and Isaac made their way up the mountain, Isaac asked a question that breaks your heart even today. He looked at his father that he loved and trusted. Look, the fire in the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? How are we going to make a sacrifice when there's nothing to put on the altar? And the answer that he gave proves that Abraham was going to trust the Lord to the very end, because this is what he said. He said, son, God will provide. Abraham was still holding on to hope. Surely God would step in and everything would change. Surely the Lord would speak to him and say, Abraham, go back home and take care of your son. But they got to the destination and they stood at the top of the mountain and heaven was silent. With trembling hands, Abraham prepared an altar. He arranged the wood. Then he bound his son and began to offer a sacrifice he could never understand. And he took the sacrificial knife and he prepared to take his own son's life. And God spoke. Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. You trusted me to the very limit of who you are. Sometimes you have to trust the Lord all the way, even when you don't understand. Even when it seems too hard, even when everything in you wants to back down and run away, because that's where you learn you can really trust the Lord. It's those times when God pushes you to your limit that you learn just how much you believe in His care. Someone has said, and I've probably quoted me, everybody likes to say, Jesus is all I need. Jesus is all I need. But you will never know that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. And then you will discover that Jesus is all you need. Abraham and Isaac walked down that mountain side by side, and both of them knew something that would be with them for a lifetime. God will always keep his promise. God will always take care of his own. And through Isaac, God would fulfill every promise he ever made to Abraham. God will make a way, but you have to trust him all the way. And Genesis also tells us this. It says, when God prevented Abraham from taking Isaac's life, he provided another sacrifice. Abraham looked and he saw a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. And listen to what the Bible says. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." The Lord will provide. He will make a way, a road in the wilderness, if I trust him without holding back. God used a ram as a substitute for Abraham's son. But there would be another day on another hill where God's own son would be required as a perfect sacrifice. To give up his life a ransom for many. But this is what Scripture tells us. And when it was his own son, God did not intervene. There would be no substitute. Because there was no possible substitute. To rescue his son would mean to let humanity go to hell with no hope. So God gave his son. His sacrifice purchased the forgiveness of your sin. His death opened the way to eternal life for all who believe in him. And all you have to do to be saved is to let God make the way. And the way is through his son, Jesus Christ, the perfect sacrifice. And he did it for you, and he did it for me, and he knew exactly who we were, and he knew exactly what we would do, and exactly the ways that we would rebel, and all the times that we would tell him no. And he gave himself anyway, so that some of us would tell him yes. Because Jesus himself said, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." And maybe this morning you're here and you've never trusted the perfect sacrifice of God's Son. And maybe you're here and you've always been a little bit skeptical of trusting God completely. But you realize he's the one who did not hold back, so you could have a chance to be saved. And maybe today you need to give your heart to Jesus. God will make a way. It's the way of the cross. And maybe you're here today and God's dealing with you about things in your life. Maybe this is the place where God is saying, "You serve me in this place. This is where I'm leading you. This is where I'm guiding you. This is where I want you." And in a moment when we sing an invitation hymn, you need to come and become a part of this church as a believer. Now, hear what I'm going to say to you in light of the experience that Abraham had. And if God is leading you to be a part of this church, you need to be a part of this church. And if God is not leading you, You need to wait until God says, right here, in this place. And maybe you're here as a believer, but God's dealing with your life. Maybe a call He's placing on your heart. It may be an issue of your own commitment to Him when you have to admit, I just don't trust Him the way I ought to trust Him. Maybe there's a decision He's leading you to make. And if He is, you step out. You trust Him. Whatever God may be saying to you today, in just a moment as we sing, this is your opportunity to let God make that way in your life. Will you come? Let's stand together. Let's sing our invitations hymn.